Afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. As every week, up in the captain's chair and broadcasting live on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world from Singapore and one end of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other. To all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, my greetings go out to you. And in particular today, do my greetings go out to all of my people who are in earthquake zones. Because last night, here on the magical isle of Vashon, we had an earthquake. I am advised today that it went all the way up to a 3.2 on what is called the Richter scale, I believe. And I was beavering away last night, working up my list of things that I wanted, that I'm going to talk about today. Sailor the Orange Cat was on guard protecting me. He was one step down on the stairway, and I felt this shudder in my house on the magical isle. And Sailor sat up to attention, and that was the sum total of his interest and concern. He could see that the roof had not fallen down on us, and therefore he did not need to rescue me from imminent danger. My little black girl, Blossom, moved from the pad, the heated pad, which she occupies at night, which is right next to my hand when I'm asleep. And she moved over for a little bit of comfort, and she lay down on top of the clothing that I had worn during the day. She is a big fraud. And so for all of the pretense that she puts on that she doesn't really care about what's going on in Captain's quarters, she obviously does. And so that was the limit and the extent of our interest. But there are places in the world where earthquakes are really serious business. And it may turn out someday that it will be serious business here. But right now, last night, at 2200 plus a few minutes, 3.2 on the Richter scale, and it barely caused Sailor the Orange Cat to do anything other than shift berths a little bit. The medical list today has a couple of serious entries, and it has one crossing of the bar. The medical list, to me, is especially important because it is the way that we focus all of the energy of Captain Joe's people who listen to me every week to the squaring away of all of my people who are on the list. During the week, my dear friend who had open heart surgery did not free himself of the ICU, the intensive care unit, is still there, has had some kidney complications. But this week is the week that David at least gets to go home. Because of all of this energy being directed in his direction, that is what's going to happen. A couple of my other people, Dwayne with a stent that has to come out, people that are dealing with substance connection problems, all of you know that you are in the palm of my hand. The crossing of the bar was by a friend who I never met, right between the running lights. I've talked on this program a number of times about the Coast Guard Channel community. I am one of the administrators for that particular group, and it and LinkedIn are the only two of that sort of thing that I participate in. I do not now have, nor will I ever have, nor have I even looked at a Facebook page. I am told that there is a Facebook page for my Northwind people, probably for many other things with which I have some connection, but I choose not to be a part of that, but I do choose to be a part of the Coast Guard Channel community. I write for it frequently, and I support it financially. One of the founding fathers of the community as we know it today crossed his bar, and we didn't hear about it until just very recently, but Ron Wilkins died over in December. And we're just through a somewhat interesting way we have finally heard about it and are passing all of our regrets and memories of Ron. He was what we call in the Coast Guard a black hole sailor. That means that he worked in one of the ships that does some of the most dangerous work that we have in the Coast Guard, the handling of these enormous buoys that mark the channels in all of our ports. He served in the same ship for his entire four-year enlistment, and he was a buoy jumper. Every now and then, when a buoy needs to be picked up, it needs to have somebody from the crew jump from the buoy deck right onto the buoy. Close your eyes and picture that. The Black Fleet and Eagle are the only ships in the Coast Guard that I did not command one of. So I do not have any personal experience at commanding one of the ships that does that work. But I've been aboard many of them, have been underway in many of them, have been an observer as they work the buoys, and I can tell you that it is dangerous work. It requires a great deal of training and a great deal of skill. So Ron did that. And then in retirement, he was a proud wearer of retired Coast Guard regalia, in particular retired Coast Guard caps. And it's thanks to him and to several other people that we have the Coast Guard community, the Coast Guard Channel community as we know it today. I will be sending a note now that we have the contact details as to how to get in touch with his family. I'll be sending them a personal note thanking them for letting us have their dad. It is always my hope that when one of us crosses the bar, that it is an easy crossing, but it is sometimes that is not to be the case. A quick update in my own situation. The next time that we try to separate me, divorce me from Mr. Foley is in mid-April. And in the meantime, my walking abilities continue to improve on a daily basis. I did not come in with the captain's walking stick today, but I probably will end up regretting that, as it has turned out to be a pretty good thing to have. If nothing else, it really looks neat. Moving on quickly to my long list of things to talk about, we move along in a smart and seaman-like fashion. I see that somebody in France, a politician in France, is advocating for the United States to return the Statue of Liberty. And I think that this is a good, I don't think, I know, this is a good time for each of us on both sides of the Atlantic to remind each other of the interlocking relationship that the United States has had with France from before the ratification of the Constitution, that we had support from France at the very beginning of our republic. During World War II, we were, of course, instrumental in the liberation of Europe and France. After World War II, through the Marshall Plan, we helped in the reconstruction of Europe. It is not time for people to be talking about returning gifts. All of the gifts that have come to me through the generosity of all of Captain Joe's people, family, friends of family rank, people that sailed with me, all of you who have sent me wonderful gifts, none of them are ever going to come back to you. They're going to be part of the treasures in Captain's Quarters until I cross the bar myself, and then my own family is going to have to figure out. I think I will leave a letter of instruction. I think I'll leave an op order that will instruct those who go into Captain's Quarters to do the necessary and ritual cleaning out, rousing out, cleaning, and restowing as to what to do with each one of my treasures. For that's exactly what they are, and that's what the Statue of Liberty is to us. France, you're not going to get it back. An update on the Stena Immaculate. I have to confess that I have been watching Sal Marcagliano's What's Going On with Shipping a couple of times, but I refuse to become a member. And the reason for that is that Sal, bless his heart, second mate that he is, never commanded anything, has in a couple of cases just not gotten it right. But the update is this, that Stena Immaculate still is at anchor. Her auxiliary generators are still running. She's pumping water. And you can see from the photographs, from the film clips of her, that she's pumping water overboard. And my suspect is that without actually looking at the machinery setup, that they're taking bilge suction because there's water coming into one side, and some of that is certainly getting through the bilge system into other compartments down in the lower, inside the double bottoms. And my guess is that what appear to be firefighting monitors are actually overboard discharge for the bilge pumps. But I don't know that for sure because I haven't looked at her and checked her myself. But I'm not counting on Sal to give me the hot word on that. Anyway, she's still, there's no fire in her. All of her people are off of her. And the Schmidt company, Schmidt Towing, Schmidt Salvage, is the contractor that has been engaged to salve her. Schmidt is an old-line Dutch company The Dutch, before World War II, established a network of deep water tugboats. To learn about that and to read about them, go to the book of this week, which is The Captain. It was written by Jan de Hartog, and it is a book that I probably have recommended here on before, and I do so again. And it tells the story of a newly licensed captain who goes aboard one of the Dutch deep-sea tugboats at the time that the Netherlands are overrun by the Germans in World War II in 1940. And it tells the story of his adventures, because those tugs were used as rescue vessels in the convoys going back and forth between the United States, Canada, and Great Britain. It's a wonderful book, and it is one of my favorites. I read it maybe once every year, and because it reminds me of the decisions that ship captains have to make. They're similar to the decisions that airline captains have to make. Captain O'Brien is sitting right across from me eating Mexican food again. And so those in command have a non-delegable authority and responsibility. And the Smit Company, S-M-I-T, Sierra Mike India Tango, the Smit Company is the model for the company that is in Jan de Hartog's book, The Captain. Highly recommended, and I hope that all of you will, when you are looking for a book to read, find The Captain, Jan de Hartog. The USS Gravely, DDG 107, has been detailed off to help patrol the Caribbean with the Coast Guard, with a Coast Guard law enforcement team aboard. And the reason why we put Coast Guard teams aboard naval ships is that Navy ships are not allowed to do law enforcement against U.S. citizens. There's a particular provision in Title 14, which is of the U.S. Code, which is the Coast Guard title, which not only authorizes but requires the Coast Guard to be the maritime law enforcement agency for the United States. Under the statute called Posse Comitatus, Department of Defense facilities are not allowed to enforce laws against U.S. citizens, a wise provision. So Gravely is operating in the Caribbean, which the current administration insists on calling the Gulf of America, and which I stubbornly am going to continue to call the Gulf of Mexico, because I have sailed all over it. I have lived there in Aruba. And I am enough of a traditionalist that when the Gulf was named the Gulf of Mexico, probably centuries ago, I am one of those that hangs stubbornly on to that which I know and love. So welcome to USS Gravely. She's named for Samuel D. Gravely, who was, I believe, the first black flag officer in the Navy. Had a long and honorable and honored career in the Navy. And it is wonderful that there is an Arleigh Burke destroyer named for him, DDG 107. Welcome to her and to the law enforcement activities down in the Gulf of Mexico. Next week, I'm going to have two ladies here on the island. I have said often, we'll say again, that I, in my lifetime, have been surrounded by beautiful and strong women. And next week, two of them are going to be with me because they both have written books. And we're going to have them read short and pithy excerpts from their books. And then I'm going to buy copies and have them sign them to me, because part of my treasures are books that have been written by friends that they have signed to me. Some of my most treasured Polar books are books that have been written by friends that I knew, and I'm using that in the past tense because they have all crossed their own bar. And I was able to get the books signed by them in one case pretty close to the end point for Sir Vivian Fuchs. So that's next week. It's going to be a wonderful broadcast, three friends having a visit together, in which we also will be talking about their books, and I will tell you how you will be able to get their, how you'll be able to get your own copies. Sometimes we are faced with situations that seem to be overwhelming. And we ask ourselves and we ask other people, what can I do? Well, what we can do is what I try to do with this broadcast and with all of the other activities. Some of these I do in concert with people like Captain O'Brien, like the counselor, like all of the friends and Captain Joe's people that are here on the magical Isle of Vashon with me. And we all believe that what we do here will ripple out. So I have a ripple out for you today, and that is I've talked about my friend Anastasia, she of the Kula cloth, which ladies take out into the bush. And I had a signal from her today in which she said, ask that question, what can I do? And then she answered her own question by giving me a link to a Zoom discussion that she is hosting on Thursday, the 20th of March at 1800, 6 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time. You can learn about this by going on to a website called Eventbrite, E-V-E-N-T-B-R-I-T-E, misspelled, not B-R-I-G-H-T, but B-R-I-T-E, Eventbrite. And the subtitle is Protecting the Places We Love. And it talks about what people can do about the National Park Service and about the other organizations that are nature-related and which have had so many of their employees terminated. So, Anastasia, Thursday, 20 March, it's a Zoom thing. If you go on to Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, not B-R-I-G-H-T, it's called Protecting the Places We Love, and this is something that we all can do. And Anastasia, who is a little bundle of energy if you ever want to see one, go on to and sign up for that. It costs nothing. It has no price, but it is a pearl without price. But in terms of financial obligation, there is none. We are about to return to Subic Bay. All of us who sailed in Coast Guard Squadron 1 or Coast Guard Squadron 3 off of the coast of Vietnam have been through Subic Bay when Subic was a joint U.S. and Filipino base. And then some years ago, we pulled out of there and turned it back over to the Filipino government, and it was turned into a, I believe it was turned into a free, a customs-free zone. I had a signal today from one of my sources that told me that the Marine Corps, our own Marine Corps, has leased one of the warehouses. Now, I cannot believe that the Marines have done this without also implanting some people there. So my guess is that not only is there a installation, but that it has a few Marines, probably led by a gunnery sergeant. The interesting thing about this is that that provides the core, the working core. And once I figure out how to get hold of this gunny, this Marine gunnery sergeant, I'm going to send him out to the grade school in Olongapo, because out there, my crew built a swing set. And we built this swing set out of shoring timbers that you use to shore up bulkheads when you have a collision. And we had an almost unlimited access to that sort of thing in Subic with our Navy brethren, colleagues. And so we were looking around for a project, and we put the word out to the school district in Olongapo, and we got the signal back that if we wanted to send a team over and build a swing set, they would be most grateful. Well, what happened was that we mustered the entire damage control organization from the ship. The ship was in for some repairs. I think it was after we had run aground up in I-Corps, and we had to go back over to Subic and back up on the dry dock to have the propeller blades straightened out. And so we all went over to this grade school. And the ship's company built them this swing set. It was built to last for the ages. And it was built out of the heaviest of shoring timbers. But that was many decades ago. And so by now, it no doubt needs a little bit of repair and certainly could use probably a little bit of titivation. How many generations of kids have used that swing set? So now I know that there's some Marines that are encapsulated in Subic Bay, and I figure out how to get hold of that gunny. I'm going to send them out to that school and have them check on the swing set. In the meantime, there's a wonderful photograph of Colonel Watson, who is the commanding officer of the owning organization, and it shows him with Mr. Batari, and Mr. Batari is the owner of the warehouse that the Marines have taken over. And there are a number of other civilians, and they're all of them mustered together, and the caption says that all of them together, including Colonel Watson and Mr. Batari, are sharing a light moment. Well, I can tell you that we sure shared a light moment, because after the swing set was constructed, after the children had had a chance to check it out, the school decided to have a little party. And so a number of cases of San Miguel were brought out. The children did not participate in that part of it, but my crew certainly did. And this is the domestic version of San Miguel, not the export version, which has formaldehyde in it. I guess you didn't know that, and you probably really wanted to know all about that. So I've come once again to the end of our time together. I look forward to our meeting next week with Susan and Cindy and our books together. I hope you will join me then. In the meantime, this is, as always, your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again right here. And Not only till we meet again, but this is, as always, your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly.